Morning. Today's daf in Gittin is daf Mem. Thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. As long as Zech Nishmas Libik Arvila Veshmol. We're on Lamed Testament Base. We're in the middle of the fourth parak of Gittin, which means we're talking about Avdus. So that's not how the parak started. The parak started talking about Inyanei Gittin, specifically Shlichus. But then as the parak progressed, so we talked about the topic of Eved Kanani. These dapim, which takes us back to Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, which is really the beginning of this topic. It will take us through the end of the fourth parak. So we'll stay on task with a discussion of an Eved Kanani. So how does he go free? So first of all, he shouldn't. That's point number one. Point number one is he shouldn't go free. The Torah says Lo'olam Bahem Kavodu, that they are supposed to work for you in perpetuity. They are assets. So you own them. And when you die, they go to your children. And so when they have children, those children also belong to you. So they are, and halachically, they mostly have the status of karka in terms of how you make kinyanim regarding them. But in other words, but basically they're yours. And you're not supposed to sell them. You're not supposed to free them. Thank you. Okay, you're not supposed to. But nevertheless, even though you're not supposed to, but under certain circumstances you can. We're going to be talking a lot of those cases today. And so how do they go through cheiros? How do they go through emancipation? So as we mentioned yesterday, there's a yesod gadol when it comes to an eved kanani and a shifcha kananis as well. And that is the following. That in order to understand the basic principles of yesterday's gemara, today's gemara, so you need to know that when you own an eved kanani, you really own two aspects of the eved kanani. Number one, you have what we called yesterday kinyan mamon. In other words, there's a monetary value to the eved kanani, and you own that. In other words, that's yours. And so it's like any other commodity, you can buy and sell based on its value. But in addition to that, there's also what we referred to yesterday as what we call the kinyan isser. Kinyan isser means that there's a status. There's a certain status of being an eved kanani. Eved kanani is somewhere between Jew and non-Jew, right? When you become an eved kanani, so you go through a tvila. If it's a male, you mal the eved kanani, and he has chayiv in all the mitzvahs that a woman is chayiv in, which is most of the mitzvahs in the Torah. So there's a status of being an eved kanani. Can't marry a Jew, but nevertheless there's a certain status. That status, we referred to it yesterday as a kinyan isser. You'll see the Gemara keeps using the term again and again. It's a reference to the isser in the ownership of the isser. So this is a second facet of the ownership that you have within the eved kanani. So as we pointed out yesterday, that in order to free the eved kanani, you have to remove both aspects of it. You have to remove the kinyan mamon, and you also have to remove the kinyan isser. And until you do that, the eved kanani doesn't go free. So for example, if you only remove the kinyan mamon, so for example, we'll be talking about it over the course of today as well. Let's say you're mafker the eved kanani, meaning you declared it ownerless. So now all that means is that there's no longer a mamonus. You no longer have a bailus on the mamon of the eved kanani. But no one released him from the isser. So in addition to that, you also have to write a shtar shichur. It is insufficient to just simply say, I'm disavowing myself from the eved kanani. I no longer own the eved kanani. It's not enough. You also have to remove the isser. How do you remove the isser? Through a document. Through a shtar shichur. Okay, that was our big discussion yesterday. It continues to be our big discussion for today. And Amar Mar. We are starting today on Lamed Tes Amud Beis, right in the middle of the Amud, going back to a statement that was made by Rebbe. Amar Lahem Omer Ani, Rebbe's of the opinion, Ein Lo Takana Ela Bishtar, that the only way release an Eved Kanani is only through a shtar, only through a get shechur. V'hatanya. The Gemara quotes the Braisa, Rebbe Omer Omerani, Afu no sein demei atzmo v'yotze mimnei shehu kemochru lo. Meanwhile, we had a statement by Rebbe. And Rebbe said that in order for an Eved Kanani to go free, so you can no sein demei atzmo, he can give the value of himself v'yotze, and he's able to go free. So in other words, he'll buy himself out and that'll be sufficient. Because he's basically buying himself. So the Gemara says, now what comes out over here is that we are confused. How does an Eved Kanani go free? Is it through Mammon or is it through Shtar? So in the first statement, which we quoted in the from yesterday's Daf, we said it could only be done through Shtar. And meanwhile, the statement to Rebbe is that it could also be done by Mammon as well. Hachikamer, o bekesef, o bishtar. So the Gemara says that when what Rebbe means is it can be done with kesef or it can be done with shtar. Meaning there are two, according to Rebbe, there are two legitimate ways for an eved kanani to become free. Number one, shtar. Shtar is get shichur. Get shichur is what removes him from his owner and gives him back his status. Meaning not gives him back, but upgrades his status from an eved kanani over to a Jew. That's one. And the second way is kesef. Meaning kesef could do that as well. If somebody were to pay him out of his avdus, so then that money can also be used as A, giving him a kinyan, buying out his kinyan mamon, and the money also can change his status as well, remove the isser. So the Gemara says, v'hai pakale kaspe. Now, what about the fact that we learned yesterday that when you're mafkir, you're eved kanani, you need to write a get shtar shechur? Meaning, why should that be? Once there's no longer mamon, so why can't you? Why doesn't he just simply go free? Why do you have to write a get shechur? So to that, the Gemara says, pakale kaspe. Rashi umi ata in lo takana ela bishtar. Meaning, if nobody's paying actual money to free him, if all you're doing is just simply saying I no longer own him. So then we didn't have any actual vehicle, we didn't have any mechanism that removed his isser. Meaning money will remove his isser, but it has to be money. If all you're doing is just simply releasing him, removing your ownership from him, that's not an actual vehicle to remove the status of isser. So that's why previously we said that if you mafkir him, so then you have to run him and get shichur. Right. Because you didn't do anything to remove the isser. Doing something either means physically giving money for him, or it means writing a get shichur. Ula fugi mehai tana detanya. The Gemara now is going to quote the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon will simply not agree. Meaning, to state it simply, we're going to see a machlokas. Rabbi's just clearly is of the opinion that for an eved kanani to go free, meaning to not only be removed financially from his owner, but also to upgrade the status from being an eved kanani to a Jew. So, according to Rebbe, two things. One of two ways. Either one, get shichur, or two, kesef. Those are two viable ways. And what we're going to see right now is Rabbi Shimon's going to disagree, and then the Gemara is going to tell us what the halacha is. First, let's see the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Ditani Rabbi Shimon Om, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Akiva. Yochliye kesef gomer ba keterach shishtar gomer ba. I might have thought that money is a legitimate way to free the eved, but just like shtar is. Tam alam rav avdelo nifdasa. So the Torah says, avdelo nifdasa. Ora kol parsha kula lolo chupasa. That is how the pasuk concludes. Lomar lecha shtar gomer ba, veina kesef gomer ba. That only shtar and not kesef. Now, the Gemara over here is making reference to a small little, a short number of psukim found in Parshas Kedoshim. It's tricky. It's a little bit of a drama over there, what exactly happened. But basically what happened over there is, what I'm just doing right now is I'm paraphrasing Rashi over here. Take a look at Rashi and Chumash over there. It's Vayikra Perek Yutes. You will see all this in the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim, where the Torah over there describes that a woman is quasi-married to a man. I'll explain the scenario in just a moment. She's quasi-married to a man. It's not a full marriage. So because it's not a full marriage, if she were to commit adultery, this would be a form of adultery where there's no capital punishment. Meaning because it's not full adultery, because she's not fully married. Okay, that's the outline of what's happening over there. More of the details of what exactly happened over there is that the woman, it was a Shifcha Kananis, but she was owned by two people. One of her masters freed her. One of her masters kept her enslaved. So now she's a chatzi bas chorin, chatzi eved chatzi bas chorin. So her status right now in terms of her being a shifcha kananis is 50%. Furthermore, she was married to an eved ivri. Now, as we pointed out time and again, a shifcha kananis is not allowed to marry a Jew. It's a law in the Torah for a shifcha kananis to marry a Jew. Nevertheless, the halacha is that when you have an eved ivri, who is a Jew? Meaning he's an indentured servant, right? He's basically a guy who can't change employment. But an eved ivri is a Jew. But interestingly enough, an eved ivri is allowed to marry a shifcha kananis. Okay, that deserves its own, you know, that's its own topic, but that's the halacha. So, the story over here is that this eved ivri is married to shifcha kananis. She is now, that union is half sanctioned real marriage because she is half bas chorin, half shivcha kananis. If she were a full bas chorin, then they'd be fully married. But she's half bas chorin, half shivcha kananis, so their marriage is half legitimized, meaning half full marriage. I know all this sounds strange, but that's the scenario over there. The Torah's point is that if she now were to have relations with another man, this would be considered partial adultery. Okay, that's the outline of the pasuk over there. The whole point why the Gemara is bringing it up over here is Rabbi Shimon quotes in the name of his Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva, that the Torah over there says, why isn't it the case that it's a full marriage? Because the Torah's conclusion over there is because she was not redeemed, meaning she was not given a get shichur, and therefore she was not freed. And that's why it's not a full marriage. The Torah over there pinpoints exactly what would have freed her and would have made the marriage between her and the Eved Ivri a fully sanctioned marriage. The only thing that would have done it would be the get shechur. So Rabbi Shimon learns from that little halacha mentioned in Parshas Kedoshim that the only way to free a shevcha kananis is only through a shtar shechur. So the Gemara says, let's go back to the Gemara. Okay, that's it. That's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. So now what we have is a machlokus between Rabbi versus Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi says, how can a kanani go free? A shivcha kananis go free, either kesef or shtar. According to Rabbi Shimon, only star, not kesef. How does the halacha go? Rami bar Chama, Rav Nachman, halacha k'Rav Shimon. Okay. Rav Yosef bar Chama, Rav Yochanan, ain't halacha k'Rav Shimon. So the Amoraim are debating whether or not the halacha does or does not follow like Rabbi Shimon. Ashkechei Rav Nachman, Yisrael, Rav Abar, Shehilta, Dehavikai, Pitcha, Debeit, Tefillah. He was right in front of Shul. And Amalei halacha in halacha. And this was the hot topic. Is the halacha follow like Rabbi Shimon or not? Meaning, what are the mechanism in which we're going to free a Shivcha Kananis or an Eved Kanani? Amalei ani omer in halacha. I say the halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon. Again, Rabbi Shimon limits it only to Shtar Shechur. So the Gemara then quotes Rav Nachman that the halacha does follow like Rav Shimon. Tell me the story. Meaning, give me the details behind the story. So there was a maidservant. She was a shivcha kananis, and her owner was dying. So realizing that she had now a moment in time, so she goes to her owner, to her adon, and she says, "Amrale." She says to him, "Ad emas tishtabed v'tezel ha'hi isasa." Like, how long is this woman? This woman, obviously, being a reference to herself. How long is this woman going to be a servant? So, in other words, she's basically pleading her case. Okay, I had enough of being a shivcha kananis. I would like to move on in life. What happens? Shako kumta shadaba. So he takes a hat and he throws the hat over at her. In other words, what he's attempting to do is what we refer to as kinyan sudr. Kinyan sudr basically means, right, like right before Pesach, you go to the Rav, you sell your chametz to the Rav, and again, you're not really doing that. You're commissioning the Rav to sell your chametz, but you are. But the way the transaction over there is performed is kinyan sudr, where somebody picks up an object, you pick up a handkerchief, and good, and it's tantamount to a handshake. But back then, that was the method in which we did it. So kum to Shadabe Amarla. So he says to her, Zilkani, ha, the Kani Nafshech. So he says, through this Kenyan Suter, you're going to acquire yourself. Now, what happened? Meaning, we know what happened. What resulted? So also the comment to Rav Nachman, I'm a little loss of a little klum. And then went to Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman said, you know what that was? Nothing. Halachically, nothing. I mean, he was trying to do something. You know, he was trying to free her, but it was nothing. So Manda Chaza Savra Mishim Dalachi Rabbi Shimon. And so now, why? Why was it nothing? So, the casual observer thought, oh, because the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says that the only way that a Eved Kanani, Shifcha Kananis can be freed is only through a Shtar Shichur. And no Shtar Shichur was given. Oh, that's the conclusion. Velohi, but the Gemara says, but that's not right. Meaning we don't follow the halacha like Rabbi Shimon. We follow the halacha like Rabbi. Elamishim dehavalei kelev shel makne. The problem over here is that the Kinyan Seder was not done correctly. Why was the Kinyan Seder not done correctly? Because we have a general machlokus regarding Kinyan Seder. Meaning, where do we learn Kinyan Seder from? We learn it from the Megillas Rus. Where at the end, the Kinyan Seder was done between Boaz and Ploni Almoni. And somebody picked up somebody's kli in order to effect a transaction. Who was the one who picked it up? Was it the Mocher or was it the Lokeach? It's unclear from the Psukim, and the Gemara presents a debate in terms of who picked up whose kli. Meanwhile, the halacha is, okay, that's a general outline. The halacha is that it needs to be that the lokeach is the one who picks up the item and hands it over to the mocher in order to affect the kinyan seder. So that's how it's done. Over here, right, it went the other way around. The owner was the one who picked it up and gave it to the owner is the mocher. And the woman in this case is the lokeach. She's trying to buy herself. So it just simply was not an effective kinyan seder. Had it been an effective kinyan seder, it would have worked. Because then it would have been equivalent to mamon, it would have been equivalent to kesef, and that would have worked. But it just was that the kinyan seder was not done correctly. So originally they thought that it wasn't working because shtar. Shtar is the only way to release an eved kanani, in this case a shifcha kananis. No, it's not true. It's that the kinyan seder was not done correctly.
But she wouldn't have anything of her own to give to even that antenna.
So what you would have to do, is effectively give her something to the exclusion of her owner. In other words, legally it can be done.
So somebody else or the owner himself?
It could be.
If the owner himself. Presumably
either one. Okay, but anyway, the point is that. It's the Gemara, and now the Gemara will go into its conclusion. So Amar Shmuel bar Achitai, Amar Rav Hamnuna Saba, Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Ashian, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Hamnuna Halacha k'Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon v'lohi, and then the Gemara just it's one last line: Ain Halacha k'Rabbi Shimon. Okay, so clearly there was a lot of back and forth on this issue in terms of what is the correct method of releasing an Eved Kanani, Shifcha Kananis. Is it just Shtar that Shitas Rabbi, is it Shtar and Kesef that Shitas Rabbi, or is it just Shtar that Shitas Rabbi Shimon? The Amoraim clearly deliberated and debated this issue. The Gemara's conclusion is that the halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon. I don't know why the Gemara keeps putting it in the context of whether the halacha is or is not like Rabbi Shimon, as opposed to saying that the halacha is like Rabbi. But okay, for whatever reason, but still the halacha's conclusion is that the halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon, but rather like Rabbi, and that there are two means in which one could release the Shifcha Kananis. One is Mammon and the other Kesef, and the other Ishtar. Amar Rabbi Zera, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Amar Rabbi Ashi, Amar Rabbi. Eved Shenasas Bachorin, Bifnei Rabba. Let's say you have an Eved marrying a Bachorin. Now, as we pointed out, an Eved can't do that. An Eved Kanani, part of being an Eved Kanani, is that he's Aser Lakahal. He cannot marry a Jew. What happens over here is that he's marrying a Jew, a Jewish woman, and he's doing so right in front of his master. So, Yotza Lecheris, he goes free. Now, generally speaking, to keep this clear as possible, there are certain halachas which are siba, meaning they're the mechanism, and sometimes a halacha is just merely a simon. It's a reflection of something. Over here, this is a simon, it's not a siba. Meaning, it's not because he married a Jewish woman that he went free. Can't be. Well, the Gemara just concluded that there's only two ways for him to go free, either shtar or kesef. So it can't be that the marriage to this woman is actually what is creating the freedom. Rashi says on the very top of the Amud, the ilav de shachrei lo habashavik lelemitza bas chorin. This is a simon. This is just simply reflective of the fact that there must have been a point historically where he freed his eved, and the only The only thing that this marriage is doing is just simply reflecting that this happened historically. Now, to be fair, correct. The grammar over here is not in perfect agreement with the way I'm explaining it, but I'm explaining it like Rashi. Now, to be fair, there is another line of Gemara, which if you look at the side of the Gemara, you'll see, and that is Velo Od El Shekofenes Rabba Vekosel Rabba Shar Shichur. There is a line of Gemara. We don't have it in the actual Nusach Gemara itself. We have on the side, and that is that as an additional measure, the owner has the right to get shechur. Okay, but just to keep the Gemara as simple as possible, it's a reflection that the owner freed him historically. Amarle Rabbi Yochanan Kol Kach Yesh Biyadcha. Rabbi Yochanan says do you have this in your hand? The ani shone hakosish dar erusin shivchas of Rameir omer mikudeshes vechachamim omerim eno mikudeshes. Meanwhile, I'll tell you this: if you write a shtar erusin for your shivcha, so Rameir says she's mikudeshes, and the chachamim say she's not mikudeshes. So I'm not following. Meaning, you're telling me that if he marries off, or he's watching the marriage of his Eved Ivrin to a Jewish woman, it's reflective of the fact, it's proof that they actually, that he gave her a Shtar Shichur, but meanwhile, it's the owner himself writing the Shtar Erusin for his Shivcha, and we have the machlokus, and moreover, it's more than just a machlokus, the chachamim, which is the majority position, is Eina Mekudesha, she didn't go free. Well, why not? So Kedama Rabba Bar Shila Kisharabi Nechlotfil and Hachanami Kisharabi Siya Isha. So the Gemara says, well, it really is a question of how much involvement the owner has. If the owner is the one who is marrying off the woman, so then that is a good reflection that he freed her. So the Gemara says, really, owner's involvement? That's going to be a critical issue over here? So the Gemara says, it's hard to imagine. So Amar of Nachma Yitzchak Hachaba Maiskin and the Amar La, Si'ibo Vizkachibo. So the Gemara says, look, if the Eved Kanani is marrying a Jewish woman, that's a reflection that he was freed. And if the owner is marrying his Shivcha Kananis, that's also a reflection that she's freed. Over here, the Braisa that you just quoted, Rav Yochanan, that's a totally different issue. The issue over there is as follows. In other words, what the owner was trying to do was basically double dip. I'm going to write an Erusin, a Shtar Erusin, for my Shivcha Kananis, which will serve both as the Shtar Shichur and will also serve as the means of marrying her. Rabbi Meir Savar Yesh B'Lashon Hazeh Lashon Shichur. So Rabbi Meir says, good. Meaning, you can understand the Shtar Erusin incorporates within it also the Shtar Shichur. Meaning, the only way I can marry her is by freeing her. So good. So I'm doing that with the Shtar Shichur. That's Rav Meir's position. Rabbanan Savri and Blashon Hazeh Lashon Shichur. And the Chachamim say, no, you can't double dip. Meaning that first you have to free her, and then and only then can you marry her. And you can't use the Shtar Shichur as both a means of freeing her and also serving as the means of marrying her as well. I'm Rav Shuman Levi Evi Shinich Tfilin Befnei Rabbi Yotzel Lecheres. The Evi Kanani puts Tfilin on in front of his master, so he's Yotzel Lecheres. Tfilin is a mitzvah sesei shazman grama. It's a time bound mitzvah, as we've said time and again. Eved Kanani is chayiv in the mitzvahs that a woman are chayiv in, which means that they are not mitzvah, they're not obligated to put on tefillin. So, and clearly the minhag was that Eved Kanani did not wear tefillin. So the Eved Kanani is putting on tefillin in front of his master. So once again, it's a simon, certainly not a siba. It's a simon. It's reflective of the fact that the owner must have done so. Meanwhile, the Gemara quotes a Braisa. And this Braisa details many things that the Eved Kanani is doing in front of the owner, and it would be demonstrative of the fact that the owner has freed him. And meanwhile, the Braisa says no. Just to go through every one of the examples. Example number one: Lava Heman Rabo. The owner goes over to his Eved Kanani. He says, "Look, I'm a little bit short right now. Could you lend me a little money?" Two, Osha Asa Rabba Apotropos. Let's say the Eved Kanani got an appointment to become the custodian, the trustee of the estate. Okay, kind of like Yosef. Or number three, shenich tefillin b'fnei rabo. He puts tefillin in front of his master. Or four, shekar shel pesukim b'beis knesset. He's got an aliyah and shul. Or those are the examples. So harezel lo yatsa acheres. The Braisa says in all these four examples, so he the Eved Kanani does not go free, nor is this reflective of any historical event where the owner freed his Eved Kanani. So obviously that presents a problem, because you just quoted that putting tefillin on in front of your master means that it's a siman that he went free. So Amar Rabba Bar Shila Kisharabo inech lo tefillin. So this is the answer that the Gemara alluded to just a couple of moments earlier, which is, in other words, there was a moment where not only did he put tefillin on in front of the master actually helped him put on tefillin. That's a siman. That's even more.
Woman can't put on.
Right, it's even more of a. Well, that's a machlokas. That's a machlokas Tosfos and the Rambam. Okay, anyway. Okay, ki asar of dimi amrav yochamisha amrav bishas misaso plonish shivchasi al yishtab dubam. The Gemara quotes the following in the name of Rav Yochanan. This is, we'll call it Rav Dimi's halacha, because you'll see the Gemara will keep doing that as well. The following: a person is about to die, and he says, plonish shivchasi al yishtab dubam. La'achar Mosi. And this is his last will. His final instructions to his kids is, I don't want you to keep her in servitude. So the halacha is that now, as we get now to the next generation, meaning after he passes, we get to the next generation, so we force the children to free her. Amar lafan of Rebbe Ami v'Ravasi, Rebbe, I atamodish shebaneha avadim. So they turn to Rav Yochanan and Rabbi Yami and Rav Asi, and they say, "What's going on?" Meaning, the father didn't free her. The father didn't free her. She's still part of the estate. Okay. You may want to talk about her being, you know, maybe there's some sort of imperative to free her, but ultimately she's still part of the estate. Her children are also going to be part of her estate, meaning the Shivcha Kanani's children are also going to be part of the estate. So Rabbi Amin and Rav Asi do not understand what Rabbi Yochanan's talking about. So in what means was she freed? Kiyaz Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Amar Rav Yochanan. The Gemara quotes now another halach in the name of Rav Yochanan. Misha Amar Bishas Misa Soplon Shivchasi Koras Ruach Asali Yasela Koras Ruach. It's a similar comment, but it goes like this: the man is saying on his deathbed, "This Shivcha Kananis, she was great. She served me great. She was fantastic. Do me a favor. Can you appease her after I die?" Now, what does that mean, appease her? So Yasala Koras Ruach, Kofanis Yoshim Vasala Koras Ruach. So Rashi explains, first let me do the Gemara. The Gemara says is that appeasement will be that the kids are going to have to free her. Rashi says, if there's no other way to appease her, meaning that the father's last will is make her happy to the extent that she will say, "I'm happy." If that, says Rashi, means all the way to the point where she says, "My happiness will come only in the form of you freeing me," so you have to free her. My time on mitzvah l'kayim devrei hameis, because we know there's a mitzvah to fulfill the wishes of the one who died. He wanted her to be happy. If happiness means free her, you got to free her. Okay, two halachas that we said over in the name of Rav Yochanan. One was Rav Dimi. The other one was Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda. Okay, Amar Amemar Hamafkir Avdo Oso Eved Ein Lo Takana. Amemar says that let's say you declare your Eved Kanani ownerless. We have now a significant problem. The Eved Kanani no longer has an Adon. At the same time, he's not free. Because again, like we said in the beginning of today's shiur, and like we said yesterday, there are two parts to the Eved Kanani. One, mamon. Two, iser. Once you remove yourself from the mamonos, there's still an iser. Now, very simple, right? Just write a shtar shechur. Who's going to write a shtar shechur? There's no longer a owner. So all you have now is an Eved Kanani who only has on him a king in iser, but no one has a king in iser. This presents itself, obviously, a significant problem. My time agufa lo kanile yisurahu de'ik gabe. Gemara spells it out. There's no longer a baal. There's no longer a baal hamamon. The only thing that's left is just the iser. V'yisurah lo matzimaknile. Now, you can't do kinyanim with the iser. meaning no one could buy the Isser, buy out the Isser. When there was an owner, so then he had the control of the Isser, and he could release the Isser. But once there's no longer an owner, so then we have a problem. And according to Amemar, Ein lo takana, there's nothing you can do. Amale Rav Ashila Amemar Vamar Ulam Rav Yochanan Rav Chiyabar Avin Amarav Echazev Echazev Yasalacheres Vitzarchi Get Shechur. So the Gemara says, what about what we learned yesterday? We learned yesterday that when you declare your Evikanani ownerless, so fine, then you just simply write a Get Shechur. Sounds like the previous owner can write the Get Shichur. So Amar Leis, so Amemar says, that doesn't bother me at all. Tzarech vein lo takana. Yeah, you know what it means. It means you need to write a Get Shichur, but you can't. Because once again, there's no longer an owner. Igadamri. A slightly different version of this discussion goes like this. Amar Amemar ha-mafker avdo v'meis. Let's say a person was mafker the avid and then he dies. So in this Igadamri, the issue is compounded by the fact that the owner, after declaring the Evi Kanani ownerless, then he dies. Now, Evid ain lo takana. Now the Evid is stuck. My time of gufa lo kanile, isuri di ika gabe. Once again, there's no longer a financial owner of this Evi Kanani. The only thing that's left is the Isser, the isuri lebere lo moris. And here's the problem. Mamon could go down as a Yerusha from father down to son. Isser can't. That Kenyan Isser is a non-transferable, non-heritable asset, if you will. It's not even an asset. The only one who has control of that was only the father. Once the father dies, so now that's it. We're now in a limbo position of he cannot be freed. Amale Rav Ashila Amemar Vaha Kiyasa Rav Dima Amar Rav Yochanan Rav Dimi. I'm sorry, Kiyasa Rav Dima Amar Rav Yochanan. So the Gemara says, what about the Rav Dimi Halacha? Meaning the Gemara is going back to what we quoted a little bit earlier this morning, right in the middle of the Amud. So the Rav Dimi Halacha is that when he says, on his deathbed that I don't want you to enslave her anymore, so the Yorshin are forced to write her a Get Shichur. What are you going to do with that? So the answer is the Rav Dimi Tausahi. That was what he said was a mistake. So Amarle Mai Tausa, the law Amar Belashon Shichur. Yeah, you know the only mistake was is the way the father said it. He didn't say clearly, I want you to free her. But Ha Amar Belashon Shichur Achanami. But if he said it clearly, you would have freed her. So Amarle Ana Kedrashmo Bar Yehuda Sfirli. So the Gemara says no. So I hold like Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda. Remember, that was the second statement of Rav Yochanan. And the second statement of Rav Yochanan, what do we learn? That Isser is not heritable. You cannot pass the Isser down from father over to son. So if that's the only thing that's left. So I hold like that position, which means basically now that this Evi Kanani is in a holding pattern that he cannot get out of. How we discarded the Avdi Diz Davin Lo Vikochava. Gemara tells a story. There was a community of Evid Kenanis, the Izdabin Ove Kochavim. Now, what happened to these Evid Kenanis is that they were sold over to a bunch of non-Jews. Okay. And we're going to learn later in the Masechta that you cannot sell your Evid Kenani to a non-Jew. In fact, as a Kenas for doing so, the Evid Kenani goes free. Why? Because while you are the owner of the Evid Kenani, so he's going to be chayv in mitzvos. Once you sell him over to a non-Jew, so then he won't be able to do all those mitzvos. Shabbos will be for sure a real challenge. So therefore the Chachamim said, what you did was wrong. As a Kenas, the Evid Kenani is going to go free. We'll talk about this later in the parak. Meanwhile, Kalam Arvasa Basrai, what happened was is that their Ovid Kochavim owners died. Also, come to Ravina. They go to Ravina. Amalahu Zilah Hadru Abnei Marvasa Kamai Viyichtu Kita Decherusa. So Ravina says you're good, meaning you're basically free, but go back to the Jewish owners who previously owned you. They're going to write for you a Shtar Shichur, and then you will go free. Amalei Rabban La Ravina Vamar Amemar Amafker Avdav Ameisos So I Have Anilo Takana. So they say to Ravina, but wait one second. The Jewish owners no longer financially own these Evi Kanani. We're just talking about the next generation.
Right.
How can the next generation write up a get shichur when meanwhile all they had was the Isser, and we said that according to Amemar, Isser cannot be transferred from one generation to the next generation. Mamon can be transferred, but not Isser. So how can the next generation write them a get shichur? Amalu, anakarav dimi sfirli. So Ravina's response is, I don't hold like Amemar. Remember earlier this morning, we said Rav Dimi. I hold like Rav Dimi. It is transferable. Amalei de Rav Dina Tehusahu. So they said to Ravina, but wait, didn't we clarify that Rav Dimi was a mistake? Amalei my Tehusah, de lo amra b'lashon shichur. Yeah, it's a mistake. The mistake was the way the Shechiv Meira said it. Amra b'lashon shichur, achanami. But if he would have said it correctly, if his instruction was, I want you to free her, so then the children would have the right to free her. Ravina, and the Gemara says on this issue the halacha is like Ravina, which means that the Isser component of the Eved Kanani is transferable from father down to son. So that means that if all he has is Isser, he can write a get shichur in order to free the Eved Kanani / Shivcha Kananis. Okay, story for today, and really the story of the day. Hahu avda de betray kam chad mina v'shechru lepalge. Okay, there was an eved that was owned by a partnership. Two people had 50% ownership in a eved kanani, and what happened was one of them freed the eved kanani. Now puts the eved kanani in the classic. In the classic position, classic, as we're going to be discussing it a number of times over our Masechta in the course of our Perek, and that is the Zechati Eved Chati Ben Chorin. Half free, half slave. He is in an impossible position. He can't marry a Jew, he can't marry a non-Jew, he can't marry a Shivcha Kananis, I should say. He's in an impossible position. We know, it's coming up in the Masechta, that the machlokus between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel what to do, but it ended up not becoming a machlokus. Beis Hillel conceded to Beis Shammai, which is, we're going to go over to the remaining 50% ownership group of this Eved Kanani, and we're basically going to say, you have to free him. We're going to force the remaining ownership group to free the Eved Kanani. That's the halacha. And so here in the story, the remaining ownership group knows that that's what's going to happen. So what does this remaining ownership group do? Amar Idich, Hashta Shamabi Rabbanan, Umasa Delei Minai. The Chachamim are going to hear about this, and I know what's next, what's happening next. I'm going to get a knock on the door, and I'm going to get forced to release my half of the Eved Kanani. I'm not ready to relinquish my ownership. So, Azal Akne Lebeno Katan. So, what he did is he then transferred ownership, his 50% ownership, over to his minor child. And so, so Azal Akne Lebeno Katan Shalchu Rav Yosef Bereid Rav Lekamid Rav Papa Shalach Lei. So now, what are we going to do? Meaning, right now, the way Rashi sets up the Gemara, what the problem now is that the minor acquired the 50% ownership. Now, that in of itself is its own discussion. Tosus just a short couple of days, right? Dr. Waldman was asking me about this. Tosus a short couple of days ago deals with that there are a number of Gemaras that seem to be in disagreement in terms of whether or not a minor can make an acquisition or not. It's clear from our Gemara over here that in this particular scenario, the Katan didn't make a Kinyan on that 50% remaining ownership. So, and Rashi points out over here, the problem is that the Katan cannot be subpoenaed to come to court. The court can't force the katan to give up the ownership. Ein Rashi, ein Raila Chofa Bevesdin. So now, it seems like this person did not the right thing, but a smart thing. So, what did the Chachamim do? So, Shalchu Rav Yosef Brei de Rav Lakamid de Rav Papa Shalchle Kasher Asa Kenya Aselo Gemulo. So Yashiv Lo Birosho, right? A very Esther thematically, a thematic approach over here, and that is let's return the favor. Anan Kimlan B'Yanuka De Mekarve Daite Lagabi Zuze. We know children. We know children love money. I don't know why the Gemara limits it to children, but okay. But in other, you'll see from the Gemara what the Gemara means by this is that they're easily swayed by a little bit of money. So, anan kimla binuka de makarva daita lagabi zuse. Mukmina le apotropos. So what we're going to do is we're going to appoint an apotropos. It is a lengthy discussion over here between Rashi and Tosfos in terms of what the role of the apotropos is. I'll present the Gemara just like Rashi, although to be fair and to be honest, and you can see Tosfos over here has a rebuttal of Rashi, but I'll present the Gemara right now like Rashi, and that is that it's not the apotropos' role over here is extraordinarily limited. I'll come back to the Rashi in just a moment. But in the meantime, Omekartish le Zuzay, what the Eved Kenani will do, now again, he's half free and half slave. What he'll do is he'll jingle a little bit of money right in front of the Katan. The cost of like digita de cherusa, and basically will prompt the katan to write or to commission someone else to write a star shikhar al shmei over his name. So basically, we're gonna try to bribe the kid with a little bit of money to free the Eved Kenani. What exactly is the role of the apotropos in all this? So if you take a look at the Rashi, the second Rashi on the Amud, on Mem Amud Beis, Rashi writes, Davramuli Yenuka Velo Yistarchu Beisin Lachofo Shuhu Yistarchu Midato Bishvil Zuze Uvalav Kirkushi Zuze Lo Afshad Yenuka Labar Kafyahu. So first of all, we have to bribe him with money, because compulsion for a minor does not work. We cannot compel a minor. V'apotropos Ein Rishon Lahotzi the Avadim Lecheres. Now, a custodian, by right, cannot free the slave. Rashi says, look, an apotropos is a custodian. He is supposed to act on behalf of the minor and for the benefit of the minor. So freeing the slave is certainly, from the minor's perspective, not going to be good for the minor. So that he can't do that, says Rashi. We're going to see this idea come up time and again, that the apotropos' job is to act on behalf of the minor. So now, in terms of a minor can do business transactions, meaning he's old enough where he can do business transactions as it relates to metaltolin. I'll tell you the tricky part over here. Right, the tricky part over here, right, is that we're talking about an Eved Kenani, and Eved Kenani mostly has the status of karka, not metaltolin. That part's tricky, and I'm recognizing that, but I'm just going through Rashi right now. Hapa'utos mecha mecha chumekra memkra memkra be metaltolin. Now, Rashi says, so if all this is true, so what's the apotropos doing over here? Last two lines of Rashi. The apotropos mukmina la'ayin betakanaso l'shuma bedamim ma'ulim. He just wants to make sure of that. When the money is rattled in front of the child, the child is going to get proper compensation for the 50% that he's going to be parting with. So basically, the apotropos acting on behalf of the child is just going to make sure that the child is going to get fair value for the Eved Kenani.
A very basic question: if the father is still alive,
right,
how could they appoint an apotropos over the son?
Well, I mean, under normal circumstances, he can't, but the father acted inappropriately. The father gave it to the son as a shelter.
But the thing is that he still is this, the child's
father. Understood. Correct. So the simple answer is that's the line of the Gemara that we read just a moment ago. Kasher asa kenya aselo. Meaning he acted inappropriately. We're going to also act a little bit inappropriately. But in other words, but measure for measure.
Who puts out the money?
That's unclear. I'm not right. That's a good question. I'm not sure about that. The Gemara just talks about the Eved Kenani jingling money in front of him. I'm not really sure who's fronting the money over there. That part's unclear to me. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Let's finish up to the Mishnah. Ha Omer Asisi Ploni Avdi Ben Chorin Asui Ben Chorin Harehu Ben Chorin Harehu Ben Chorin. So if the language that was used by the owner is either past or present, so that is an effective release. Asena ben Chorin, I will make him a ben Chorin. So Rabbi Omer Kana v'chachamim amlo Kana. So here it's a machlok between Rabbi and the Chachamim, but the halach is like the Chachamim, which is obviously a future, it's just a promise. Now, Amar Rav Yochanan v'kulam b'shtar. Now Rav Yochanan says, now parenthetically, all this is only going to be working, not with any type of verbal declaration, but has to be written in a shtar. Meaning even the language of I released him or I am releasing him, that's not enough to just simply say it. It has to be done in a shtar. Okay, I gave you the short version of Rashi in terms of the explanation of the Gemara over here. You could see Rashi where Rashi has another possible explanation, but that's Rashi's preferred explanation. Tana Rabban, the Gemara quotes the Braisa. Ha'om enasati sade plonis leploni nisuna leploni harehu shalom. Harehu shalom. So, if you use, again, by property, it's the same basic idea. If what was written in the document was the language of past or the language of present, so that's an effective language that indicates transaction. Et nena laploni, but what if the language in the document that's used is future tense? So then, once again, so once again, we have a machlokas, Rav Yochanan v'kulam b'shtar, and again, first of all, the halacha is like the chachamim, not like Rebbe. The future tense is just merely a promise. Happens to be a promise that was put down on paper, but it's really all that. It's just a promise. And the Rav Yochanan says, obviously, the transfer is only effective if it's written in the document. In other words, words by themselves obviously do not affect a transaction. Tana Rabban Haomer Asisi Ploni Avdi Ben Chorin Vuamar Lo Asani. So you have the following debate. It's an odd debate where the owner says, "I freed the slave." The slave says, "No, he didn't." I would tell the slave, much like when I coached minor league, when I coached little league, I would tell the slave, even if you think it's a strike, don't agree with the umpire, it's a ball. So anyway, so what the slave is doing over here is he's arguing with the owner. No, he didn't free me. So basically, now the Gemara's language over here is chayshinan, but as Tosfos points out over here, don't take the word chayshinan super literally. It means the owner knows better. Meaning, very simply, even though the Eved Kenani never saw a Shar Shichra, doesn't have to see a Shar Shichra. Shar Shichra could have been handed to somebody else. If the owner is saying, "I freed him," and the owner is saying, "I wrote a Shar Shichra," it could very well be. What about the fact that the slave doesn't know about it? Yeah, the slave doesn't know about it.
Is this based on Migu that he could have?
No, it's based on Zachon Adam Shalom B'Fanav. It's a Zikri. He goes free.
It's a Zikri. He doesn't want to be free.
We had a discussion earlier whether or not it's we say zachin, but we do. Meaning by never we say zachin. By an isha, right? It's a mixed bag.
Right.
But for an eved, it's a zachin. So Hashem azik lo ayde acher. Kasavti nasavti lo vehu amar lo kasav li velo nasan li. So now the debate is here much sharper,
right,
where the owner is saying I gave it to him, and the eved kanani says, no, he didn't. I don't know what he's talking about. So Hodas Baldin Kameidim Dami. So over here it's a Hodah. It's an admission. So the admission over here of the Eved. And as Rashi points out over here, Vechem Kabal Matana. And any recipient, Kame Da'amalo Kabalti Neman. Meaning it's an interesting debate over here in terms of who do we give more credibility to? The giver or the receiver? And interesting, the Gemara says the receiver, right? They,
it's really giving up something.
Right, when you receive something, you know better if you received it more than the giver knows whether he gave it. Okay, so ha'omer nasati sade plonis leploni v'hu omer lo nasan li. So again, it's the same basic idea. Just now, instead of evakanani, we're talking about property. So once again, a debate between the giver and the receiver. The giver says, "I gave it." The receiver says, "I don't know what he's talking about." Chayshin Hashem azika lo yide acher. So once again, the giver could be right, and the receiver just simply did not have knowledge because it was done zikui ayde acher. Kasatu nasafti lo v'hu omer lo kasav lo nasan li. So here once again, he says, "I gave it directly to him," and the receiver says, "I don't know what he's talking about. Never happened." Hodas baldin kamei dim dummy. So once again, we favor the receiver's word over the giver's word because we assume that the receiver knows better than the giver whether or not he received it. Mi ochel peiros. And the final question that the Gemara deals with is who's going to be eating the peiros during this interim period. Rav Chista Amar Nosin Ochel Peiros, Rabba Amar Mishashan Nosin Peiros. So here we have a debate whether or not the giver, or we simply put it in a third party, by third party, V'lo Pliga Haba Abba Haba Bra, and the Gemara makes a distinction between father and son. The So, father and son, Rashi points out, im mekabel matana atzma b'chayim, if the mekabel matana himself is alive, amar lo nasan li, and he says, I don't know what's going on, it was never given to me, neman v'ochel hanosein es haperos. So at that point in time, we totally believe the recipient because he's here, and he's denying that he ever received it, so then the peros go back to the giver. Aval imezu b'no amar lo nasan sadazul abba. However, Rashi explains, if let's say the recipient is no longer alive, the alleged recipient, and now all we're left with is just simply the son. And he says, I don't think my father got it, but of course he doesn't know. So Mishashlan Deshema Yavo Edim Shemachra La'avi V'zelo Yada. So Shemachra or Masra, but the at that point in time we're going to set up a trust. We're going to put all the payers in trust. We don't know who the land belongs to, and until Eliyahu comes and clarifies this issue, so no one is going to be the owner of the payers of the land. Needless to say, the land itself is also going to remain in some form of limbo. Just as a quick recap, okay, we finished the machlokas today between Rebbe and Rebbe Shimon in terms of what is the way that you free an Eved Kenani. According to Rebbe, it's kesef or shtar. According to Rebbe Shimon, it's only shtar, not kesef. The Gemara says the halacha is not like Rebbe Shimon, i.e., the halacha is like Rebbe. Much discussion in the Gemara in terms of what is considered a fair simon, where you see an Eved Kenani behave in a way that is not Eved Kenani-like in front of his owner. Is that a simon that he was freed historically? So under most circumstances, no. But if the Adon has actual involvement in putting on tefillin, getting his Eved Kenani married, that in fact is a good simon. And then finally, a discussion of whether or not you can make a Yerusha of the Kinyan Isser of the Eved Kenani, meaning there's no longer a monetary ownership of the Eved Kenani, but the Eved Kenani's Isser, his status was not changed, and then the principal died, and then there's the next generation, the estate. Can the estate give the Eved Kenani Hishtar Shechur? A Mamer says no, Ravina says yes, the Gemara says the halacha is like Ravina to that which is yes. And then, fascinating story that comes up at the on the bottom of the Amud, going to the top of the next Amud, regarding a 50% remaining ownership group who uses child as a shelter in order so that Beis Din would not remove the Eved Kenani from his ownership, now his child's ownership. The Gemara says, under those circumstances, Beis Din will encourage / bribe the child to sell a share. There's a custodian involved. What exactly is the custodian's involvement? We went through Rashi. There's much more to go through, which we didn't do. Tosfos has its own understanding of what the custodian's involvement is. Okay, and then finally we talked about a debate between the owner and the slave in terms of whether he was freed or not. Generally speaking, the owner is believed. If, however, the debate is, I freed you and I gave you the Shtar Shechur, and the Eved Kenani says, no, you didn't, well, then we'll side with the Eved Kenani over that of the owner. And the same thing is going to be true regarding property as well.